welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, October 20, 2023. U.S. President Joe Biden sends a tough message to Hamas leaders.
Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy.
And some parties to South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement are considering calling for a meeting to decide on the fate of the 2024 elections.
The lack of sufficient progress and clarity on election preparedness, constitution making, or unification of forces, each of which is a critical precondition for smooth and successful elections. This is creating uncertainty.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
It is important.
Some signatories of the South Sudan's 2018 revitalized peace agreement are considering calling for a meeting to decide on the fate of the scheduled December 2024 elections. A member of a government committee says the parties will decide on the matter after forming important institutions for the conduct of the elections. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Martin Elia Lomuro, a member of the government high-level standing committee, told the VOA that the signatories of the 2018 peace deal are yet to tackle issues delaying the preparations for conduct of the 2024 elections. Lomuro, who is also the Minister of Cabinet Affairs, says the government will review opportunities and challenges as the country prepares for elections in December 2024.
We will study those options, those analysis given to them, and then they come to us as a government institution to meet with us now. And we discuss it as a government, the executive and the commissions. After that, we will make a recommendation as a high-level standing committee to the parties to the agreement on the situation, and that is when we will be engaged in discussion.
Charles Taigi Twai, the interim chairperson of the revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, says the parties to the agreement should dialogue and agree on practical steps for the conduct of the elections in 2024.
The lack of sufficient progress and clarity on election preparedness, constitution making, or unification of forces, each of which is a critical precondition for smooth and successful elections, this is creating uncertainty in the country. Additionally, as elections approach at the end of the extended transition period, it is important for the Tigenu to conduct civic education, fast-track the permanent constitution-making process, and promote political and civic space to allow citizens to exercise their democratic rights.
Pok Botha Baluang, acting spokesperson in the office of the first vice president, Riek Machar, who also doubles as the SPLM-IO chairperson, says the signatories of the 2018 peace agreement have decided to reconstitute the National Elections Commission, the Political Parties Council, and the National Constitution Review Commission. He says the SPLM-IO welcomes the new proposal announced by Lomuro.
I think this is a breakthrough from the position of the IGBUNU, because they usually keep echoing that the elections must be conducted in 2024, not bearing in mind that they are also neglecting the prerequisites for conducting the elections. If this, I think we welcome this. This is a statement from Ilea Lomuro, and this is exactly what we have been calling for. Let's not focus on the election itself while neglecting the process of conducting the election.
Peter Lomude, a senior member of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, OSOA, says the signatories of the 2018 peace deal should generate the necessary political will to implement the provisions of the 2018 peace deal.
We as a party, you know, within the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, our party, the National Democratic Movement, has been pushing for the need for the party to engage one another in a, you know, in an aim of generating a political will, and also to ensure that people look alternative. If you have to forego some of the requirement that may not be really, it's important.
Last week, the United Nations said a sense of urgency is needed to progress implementation of the roadmap, in the center of which is the elections, regain the trust of citizens and persuade the international community's goodwill to invest in the South Sudanese peace project. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Udo in Juba.
Still in Juba, some civil servants in South Sudan say they will not retire because the government has no money to pay pensions to its retired employees at the end of their services. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has details from Bor.
67-year-old Mabior Wood works as the head of VHF Radio Communication. Mabior says he had previously worked for the regional government of the then Southern Sudan for 17 years before the country separated from the rest of Sudan. He says he would like to retire and rest, but worries about his pensions.
We have not understood what the government is trying to do with us, especially those of us who were transferred from the security sector to the civil department.
Arcangelo Ding works with the Ministry of Education in Northern Bahar El Ghazali State. Ding says even though he feels like retiring from his teaching job, he's afraid the government will not pay his pension.
Teaching career is a vocational job. And someone who has devoted his time or her time for almost 30 or 50 years needs to be actually recognized and given some lump sum money at the end of his or her time. Why I feel so? Because energy level decreases with age. Like you start teaching when you are 30 years, by the age of 45 years, you will not be able to give enough services as required.
60-year-old General Ali Abdelaziz, the head of police in Turin Municipality, says he too wants to retire, but the government has not paid pensions allowances. Abdelaziz says he has to continue working in order to support his family.
Human being, after he has worked for time, is supposed to be given his money in some good amount and told that now that you go home, you have retired, so that you find something else to do and have time with your children. Because when you work with the government, you don't find time to stay with your children. You keep moving from place to place.
Joseph Bakasoro is the South Sudan Minister of Public Service and Human Resource Development. Bakasoro admits that majority of the civil servants who are supposed to retire are still occupying government positions.
There are some of the people who are nearing retirement. If the money is not ready to pay them, they will stick to their positions until further notice. So these are some of the challenges we are facing. There are also political implications in that. And therefore, we are in a reform agenda. So we are going slowly, slowly. All will be well in the near future. A reform cannot be completed in one day or 2 days. It will take some time.
The government deducts 5% of the civil servants for pension and contributes an equivalent of 19% of the civil servant salary toward pensions, which is paid at the end of service. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
From Juba, we go to Wad Madani in Sudan, where the French medical charity Medicine Sans Frontiers, or MSF, says it has suspended support to surgical operations at the Bashar Teaching Hospital south of Khartoum. MSF accused some Sudanese military authorities of blocking the transportation of surgical materials from the town of Wad Madani to Khartoum. For VOA News, Michael Atit has more from the Western Bahar El Ghazal capital. Wow.
Michel Hoffman, MSF's operations coordinator for Sudan, says the organization was forced to suspend surgical activities and withdraw its team from Bashar Teaching Hospital after the Sudan Armed Forces allegedly blocked the transportation of surgical supplies to the facility. He says the actions of the Sudan Army could deprive thousands of people who need health care.
So every day there will be wounded people from bombings, shellings or gunshot wounds that would need life-saving surgery. And the Bashar Teaching Hospital was the only free option that the people had in Khartoum, where this level of surgery was available.
MSF started working alongside the Sudanese Ministry of Health and volunteers at Bashar Teaching Hospital in mid-May. Hoffman says since September 8th, the Sudan Armed Forces have denied MSF permission to bring new surgical supplies from warehouse in Wad Madani to hospitals located south of Khartoum. He says after weeks of discussions, the army in Wad Madani informed MSF on October 1st they would no longer allow the agency to transport any surgical supplies, including for C-sections, to hospitals located south of Khartoum. He says the need for surgical operations remains huge as the fighting intensifies in Khartoum and other parts of the country.
We've never seen such an amount of life-threatening trauma injuries in a long, long time. In that 6 months that we were there, we had seen 5,000 critical cases, and we've done 3,000 life-saving surgeries. These are huge numbers that will now no longer be available for the population in Khartoum.
The spokesperson for the Sudan Armed Forces, Brigadier General Nabil Abdullah, did not respond to repeated calls and text messages for comment on this story. The MSF officials say the Turkish hospital in Karakla area of Khartoum South is also affected by the blockade and is likely to run out of surgical supplies within 2 weeks. Hoffman says MSF has been engaging the army to allow critical supplies to reach hospitals where Sudanese are trapped in Khartoum.
Millions of people remain in Khartoum, and they've been living under constant threat of violence, bombing, shelling, without electricity most of the time, without communication, with very limited goods and supplies coming in, sky-high prices on the market. Because of all the violence and the disruption, with a hugely increased medical needs.
Muhammad Abdullah Kandasha, a volunteer at Bashar Teaching Hospital, says MSF decision to suspend surgical activities will affect patients at the facility. Kandasha told VOA via a messaging application from Khartoum that local health workers have no capacity to conduct surgical operations, adding that MSF was the only agency funding services at the hospital over the past 6 months.
They were the only supply for the surgical operations. Medicines paid local health workers and took care of all the logistical supply of the hospital. So their absence will definitely impact on services delivery in the hospital.
Hoffman says MSF will continue to support maternal, emergency and outpatient care at Bashar Hospital and three other major hospitals in Khartoum and Omdurman. MSF currently works in 10 states in Sudan, including Khartoum City and State, Al Jazeera, White Nile, Blue Nile, River Nile, Al Gadarif, West Darfur, North Darfur, Central Darfur and South Darfur states. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in WOW.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, U.S. President Joe Biden issues a tough message to Hamas leaders. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. U.S. President Joe Biden made a direct appeal to the American people to continue funding Ukraine and Israel amid their war efforts in an Oval Office address Thursday evening, a day after returning from Tel Aviv to show support for Washington's key ally. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Widakwaswara has the report.
Displaced Palestinians sheltering in tents in southern Gaza as Israel continues its airstrikes, including one that turned this mosque in the central Gaza town of Deir al-Balah into rubble. This is the backdrop for President Joe Biden's remarks Thursday evening, fresh off his visit to Tel Aviv, as he asked for more funding for Israel, a key U.S. ally, as well as to support Ukraine against the Russian invasion.
Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy.
Israel has bombarded Gaza, killing 3,000 and displacing more than a million people, mostly Palestinian Arabs, in response to the militant group Hamas incursion on October 7th, which killed 1,400 people in retaliation for Israel's decades-long occupation. In supporting Israel, Biden said America must also keep its commitment to help Ukraine in its fight against Russia's invasion.
History has taught us that when terrorists don't pay a price for their terror, when dictators don't pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos and death and more destruction.
Biden did not say how much he is requesting. The amount will be known Friday when presented to Congress. The House must have a speaker to pass legislation. So far, no Republican has been able to secure the 217 votes needed to claim the speaker's gavel, following the ousting of former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy earlier this month. Meanwhile, protesters calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas descended on the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. An October 16 Reuters Ipsos poll shows that 41% says the U.S. should support Israel's position.
American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances is what keep us, America, safe.
That argument will be viewed with skepticism. Massive, in some cases violent, anti-Israel and anti-U.S. demonstrations have erupted in various capitals around the world. Many protesters see Israel as an occupying force that continues to annex Palestinian territory, supported by the U.S., even as the administration denounces Russia's annexation of parts of Ukraine. Patsy Wirakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
Still on Middle East affairs, with international criticism mounting over the attacks in Gaza, Israeli leaders are working to make sure the world does not forget the horror of the attacks on Israeli civilians, including elderly people and children, that sparked the ongoing war. As protests spread across the world this week, officials invited foreign journalists to visit the scenes of the carnage and get first-hand look at forensic experts working to identify disfigured remains of hundreds of victims. Yann Bochard was among them and has this report from Tel Aviv.
Wounded Palestinians rush to medical care as the death toll climbs in the Gaza Strip after 2 weeks of unrelenting war. At the same time, pressure on Israel is mounting, and across the Middle East, North Africa, and much of the world, protests have erupted, demanding an end to the violence. In Berlin, tensions boil over as violent anti-Israel protests resulted in the arrest of 174 people. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, Israeli forces clashed with Palestinian demonstrators. The violence resulted in the deaths of several Palestinians. As international criticism intensifies, the humanitarian situation in Gaza deteriorates. Israeli officials are determined to ensure the world does not forget the horrifying events of October 7, when Hamas militants launched a devastating attack on Israeli communities along the Gaza border, claiming the lives of 1,400 people. Journalists were granted access to the necropsy rooms where the remains of the victims are being examined. Burned bones are scattered around and doctors are painstakingly working to piece them together.
We're trying to figure out how many individuals could be included in this set of remains. And with this particular, what we found, a particular part of the mandible, the lower jaw, we found three of them. Each individual only has two. From that, we can say that in this case, there are at least two individuals included in these remains.
In southern Israel, near the Gaza Strip, journalists were also escorted through the Be'eri Kibbutz, one of the communities that where the scars of the October 7th massacre by Hamas militants remain fresh. The scenes of destruction and even the motorcycles and guns used by Hamas attackers seemed untouched. Israel received another important sign of international support after U.S. President Joe Biden's visit. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak arrived in Israel Thursday with promises of support and an offer to mediate a deal for humanitarian aid to flow into Gaza. But even as these diplomatic efforts were underway, Israeli warplanes continued to pound Gaza, with authorities in the enclave raising the death toll, already in the thousands as each hour went by. Yan Buesha, VOA News, Tel Aviv.
It's now time to hear back from you, our listeners, on some of the issues in this broadcast. We begin with comments from a listener who refers to himself or herself as Hilarisco Bonky from South Sudan. The listener starts by saying, "I am really sad with the war that is going on between Israel and Palestine. It is one of the disastrous war, and civilians are the most people experiencing the suffering. And it's so bad to hear that some journalists and Reuters crew who were doing the live coverage of the airstrikes were killed. This can really make one to fear taking journalism as a career. I am a school journalist at our school called Kapuki Secondary School, and I don't feel good when I'm seeing other journalists being killed. This war really requires intervention of international community and other countries with capacities. Regards to all VOA staff." James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu Town writes, "I call upon the international community to intervene quickly to bring peace to people of Palestine and Israel who are fighting currently in Gaza and many more other places." Samuel Remo in Yei says, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I'm deeply concerned about the ongoing crisis in Sudan, which has resulted into the loss of millions of lives caused by massive displacement of people at their own homes. And many people will run out of food assistance from WFP by the coming few months. I wish the international community should arrest these leaders for the sake of people's lives." I call Nicholas Madud from Warap State in Kwajok writes, "Hello, John Tanza. I really thank and appreciate the Minister of General Education and Instruction, Achuil Malei Malep, for his full commitment in education sector and for launching mock draft in Warap State, both primary 8 and senior 4. Mal Adao Mal in Seattle writes, "Hello, John and Nabil. My condolences to the families of 3 men slain in Twitch East County. It has been a worst year so far, with natives of Greater Bor murdering themselves over simple grudges. Compared to what external conflict could claim, the entire wrestling fraternity in South Sudan was shocked upon learning the demise of giant wrestler, legend Deng Dao." Thomas Kuntoch in Old Fangak Payam in Jungle Estate writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. I am welcoming an idea of Honorable Minister of Interior about the suggestion of employment of young age instead of old age. South Sudan needs new constitution about retirement age limit, because the government of South Sudan positions are occupied by 80 to 90 years old people. Only entrance available in government employment, but no exit unless death comes." Peter Goch Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 of Bor Town says, "The decision taken by South Sudan government to increase the salaries of civil servants is a welcoming news, but increasing the salaries is one thing and stabilizing prices of commodities in the market is another issue. Let the government, through the concerned ministry, reduce the prices in the market in order to meet the standards of the local population." Ton Mamur in Juba writes, "Dear John Tanza and Nabil Biagio, I wish the business community in South Sudan should compromise with the situation of organized forces and government employees by not increasing the prices of food and services to enable them to afford paying for their families' basic needs." Thok Chun Nyok Kwai from Juba, South Sudan writes,
To me, increasing salaries without graduated unified forces is not a good move. I want the government of South Sudan to include those who are now present in the training centers for 4 years to receive their salaries because they were graduated by the President of the Republic of South Sudan and first Vice President of the Republic of South Sudan. Benya Richard from Yei Central Equatorial State writes, "The reward of ignorant people is hunger. South Sudan has a very fertile land for cultivation. Without proper roads to the rural areas, we shall still suffer from hunger. The government has to do more by constructing roads going to villages to have access to get food in our small markets." Sabri Isaac Hamis in Western Equatoria State, Yambio County, writes, "Hello, South Sudan in focus. At least the salary increment for the civil servants in South Sudan will help the situation, more especially the frustrated army. But I urge the government to make sure the salary continues to be coming on monthly basis. With that, it will help the situation of poor economy and commodity prices in the markets." Mading Malwal Alwang in Juba writes, "Israel has the right to retaliate to what Hamas did to them. Hamas must renounce their confrontational attitude and seek peace with Israel. Just see the calamities they have brought upon harmless Palestinians because of their senseless attack on Israel. In real sense, the situation in Gaza is indeed complex, with many civilians suffering. And I quote the Bible, 'Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed.' Psalms 82 verse 3. I pray for safety and well-being of those affected and for international efforts to provide aid and seek lasting solutions." Comments and views in this segment does not represent the stand of Voice of America nor the South Sudan in Focus program. Keep your comments coming and we shall sample them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. I repeat, our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011.
And that's all we prepared for you this Friday, October 20th, 2023. We now leave you with Mawa and the song Mata Kore, which means don't cry. Listening to Mawa with that beautiful melody entitled Mata Kore, which means don't cry. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, David Greensburg, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Is
zaman al batal wala zaman kuwes kelita asma ana biguna mama matakore dunia de ya uzede